720 WGN. Hi, it's Jane Manzuris. I am in for Anna DeVlantis today, talking all things how to live a healthy life, which is perfect because it goes right hand in hand with my show, Living Healthy Chicago, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Yes, I did just plug my show. We're going to keep the conversation going and talk more about the COVID-19 and this pandemic that's happening right now. On the phone with me is Dr. Jason Rowe. He's a pulmonology and critical care at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital. Hi, Dr. Rowe, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Am I saying your last name right?
Yes, that is correct.
Perfect. Okay. So COVID-19 is literally all anyone is talking about. So let's review the symptoms. Fever, cough, shortness of breath. Do I have those correct?
Yes, those are the three most common complaints that people presented with. And that's out of a large series of cases that came out of Wuhan, China.
Right, because the only real studies that we can learn from are the ones that have come out of China so far. Is that right?
That is correct. They just published their largest case series of over 1,000 patients. There's 1,099 patients in one of our big medical journals, the New England Journal of Medicine, and that was just published on February 28th. And it kind of broke down some of the characteristics and some of the symptoms, as well as how many people were severely ill and critically ill, and kind of what were the outcomes of those cases and their experiences.
And are you, you know, as a pulmonology and critical care doctor, are you hyper-focused on what's happening with the lungs and breathing? Or are you sort of like, all right, let me assess the entire body, and then how is this going to present to the people I might see?
Yes. You know, as a pulmonary and critical care doctor, we not only focus on the lungs, but we also have to focus on the entire part of the body. Because when people are in the ICU, we are managing them directly and oftentimes guiding the ship for how people are able to get out of the ICU and remain healthy and not be sick. And so the way that COVID-19 is disseminated and spread is through droplets. So, you know, somebody could be walking down the street and then cough, and those droplets that get aerosolized into the air could be harboring any type of bacteria or viruses, and that is how people get this disease. Mm-hmm. And then when the virus goes into the body, from what we know from the experiences in China, is that it can cause a pneumonia and can cause these symptoms. Many of these symptoms, again, are very nonspecific. They can occur in a variety of different other viruses, including the flu, and it can cause pneumonias, and then people can sometimes require oxygen, but the amount so far of people that are critically ill, meaning that they had to be put in an ICU, is pretty low, about 5% of cases. And the people that required mechanical ventilation, so like a breathing tube and a ventilator to help them breathe because it was so severe, was around 2%. And the people that ultimately passed away from this type of infection was ultimately also pretty low, 1.4%. And even though these overall numbers are low, when you compare it to like the seasonal flu and how deadly the seasonal flu is, it's about, seasonal flu here in America is about 0.1%. So you can see that it's as 10 times as deadly compared to the regular flu that we experience here. But I would say in general, right now in the United States, you're more at risk of getting, if you are a healthy individual, you're more at risk of getting the flu than you are COVID-19. And so I think there has been a little bit of hysteria that's been going on, with people trying to be concerned about the symptoms that they have and what they should do about the symptoms and how they should approach their medical providers.
So you brought up hysteria. So let's talk about that for just a minute.
Yeah.
And listen, you brought the stats versus pneumonia and flu, and those are things that happen every year, and then there's vaccines and people don't get them. But this hysteria, what do you think about this social distancing and handshaking and hugging? Should we avoid social gatherings or stay in?
You know, I do think there is no treatment for COVID-19. So, I mean, I think many people know that for this virus, there is no specific treatment or antiviral medication for this. The best way that we have to combat this illness, not only from an individual standpoint, but from a societal standpoint, is to limit the spread of this disease, because it particularly affects the elderly and people that have chronic heart, lung conditions, diabetes, anything that can cause their immune system to be suppressed. So to some degree, I do believe, and I agree with the CDC recommendations, that, you know, we have to do frequent hand washing for 20 seconds, try to minimize touching our face or our eyes or our mouth as much as possible to prevent the spread of this illness.
And you talked about droplets, and that would be from saliva. What about sweat?
Yes.
If we're at the gym, is that going to be transferred that way?
You know, typically it's, you know, it's, I believe it's typically through droplets through the respiratory tract and not so much sweat. But, you know, again, if you're sweating in the gym and you're touching your face, and, you know, chances are your face, if you're coming into contact with any of those things, then it is very possible that this could be transmitted through gyms, you know, or any kind of gatherings for that matter. So I know with the recent school closures and college closures and the NBA calling off games and many sporting events calling off games, I do think that there is an element that we do have to be prepared for it and be conscious of kind of these mass gatherings to prevent kind of the super spread of this illness and this virus. But at what extent and at what price are we going to be paying from on the back end of this? Once this pandemic, which this pandemic eventually will pass, once this passes, you know, what are going to be the societal implications that we have to face after dealing with this?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people are thinking about. And you know, what's happening with the economy? What's happening with these small businesses and things are shutting down? Is everything just going to be rescheduled for like 1 week in July? And we're going to be totally booked?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, that is a funny thought to think about, because exactly when do you lift some of these bans? And honestly, we don't know. I mean, until we start seeing a slowdown of the progression of the cases that we're seeing, we may not know for quite some time when it would be safe to, you know, have a sporting event or resume the openings of schools. I think that is kind of on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis right now. And it's kind of a slippery slope, because I can see, you know, with one type of event or closure being canceled or postponed, there could be many, many things down the road that could be canceled or postponed.
Right.
In which case, I do think that tends to get people just in the public worried and concerned.
Right.
And that's why you see certain things flying off the shelves at your local grocery store or Costco. And one thing that I always tell my patients is who come into my office and they're complaining about, well, I can't even get just toilet paper because everyone is taking it already, is that, you know, it always kind of strikes me as funny that toilet paper happens to be the one thing that people gravitate towards in times of panic. Whereas I think that, honestly, if you were to ask me, hand lotion and lotion should be kind of flying off the shelves too,
right?
Because if you're practicing good hand hygiene during the flu season and the winter season, then you should be washing your hands so aggressively and so many times throughout the day that you need hand lotion to prevent it from getting red and chapped.
Because it's a barrier on your skin.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. I love that. So, Dr. Jason Rowe, pulmonology and critical care at Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. If someone should test positive for COVID-19, and will they, if they have healthy lungs, could they potentially see an adverse effect on their lungs once they've recovered?
In general, with this latest pandemic, we have not. We don't have the long-term data on follow-up, but for most viruses, the recovery, most people will recover from this illness. There were several case reports of COVID-19 causing a very, very specific type of inflammatory reaction in the lungs called ARDS, or acute respiratory distress syndrome. And that is sometimes irreversible, but that was a very, very small, very, very, very small segment of that of the total amount of cases that were in China. And even that can be seen in other types of pneumonia and viruses, including the flu. So it's not just specific to COVID-19.
Exactly. Okay, well, I think we're going to toss to news. Is that right, Jasmine? Oh, we're going to break. Dr. Jason Rowe, pulmonology and critical care at Northwestern Medical Lake Forest Hospital. I wanted to ask you what hospitals are doing to prepare. I'm going to have to ask you that offline, but I want to thank you so much for all of this great information, and thank you for taking care of all of us and all the patients at the hospital. And we will look forward to speaking with you again.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dr. Rowe. Okay, we'll be right back at 720 WGN.